Alrighty, welcome back, our twisted little friends. You are listening to Murder Maidens, a podcast dedicated to discussing crimes committed by women. Your hosts are
Monica,
Robin,
Sandy.
Today's host is Monica.
Yay. I'm kind of upset you did not open the way you opened last week.
I thought about it. I legit thought about it. I was like, I don't know if you could, like, handle my sexy voice 2 weeks
ago. I know. It is a lot.
I was like, how did she open last week? Like,
her phone sex voice.
Once we record these episodes, I do not remember anything about them. I have to listen because I forget who we did, what was said. I have the worst short-term memory.
You were also a little blitzed last week, too.
That's true. You were, like, two bottles in, bro.
Yeah.
It was,
and then you're taking pills in the middle there somewhere.
Oh yeah,
her heartburn pills.
Yeah, quote unquote heartburn pills.
Okay, so this week I actually had to go back and look at our list because I know we've talked about this lady at some point, but one of us like actually hasn't covered her. So this week I'm going to cover Nanny Doss, aka the Giggling Granny and the Lonely Hearts Killer. So, Nanny Doss was born November 4th, 1905, as Nancy Hazel in Blue Mountain, Alabama, to James and Louisa Hazel. She was one of five children. Nanny and her mother hated James. He was apparently a very controlling husband and father. He forced his kids to work on the family farm and wouldn't allow them to go to school. So, the kids weren't very smart. And when she was 7 years old, she actually had a head injury that caused severe headaches, blackouts, and depression. It lasted, like, years. Like, she was having, like, these ongoing issues. Now, growing up, because she was so sheltered, Nanny fell in love with reading, like, romance magazines. Like, her mom would always have these around. And she would fantasize about, like, her romantic future, and her favorite was the Lonely Hearts column. Her father wouldn't let her sisters wear makeup or dress in nice clothes, wouldn't let them go to dances or social events or anything like that, because he was afraid they were going to get molested by random men, which is just, like, weird. Like, they couldn't
go
anywhere.
Seems to be, like, a very quick jump into...
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
It's that dirty dancing. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is. But in the end, her and her sisters were molested on several occasions.
What the hell?
So my question...
But not at the dances, though,
no,
right?
That's what my question is. Like, you're keeping these kids home. They're not allowed to see anyone or go anywhere. So who's molesting these kids?
Him, obviously.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't assume.
Yeah, that's true. But, So in 1921, Nanny began working at the Linen Thread Company in Anniston, Alabama, at the age of 16. Now, this is where she met Charles Bragg. They started dating with the approval of her father, and after only 4 months, they were married. Nanny moved in with Charles and his mother because he refused to go anywhere without her.
It's a deal breaker. Don't move in with the mother-in-law.
Yeah. So Charles's mother had taken up a lot of his time and limited Nanny's activities. Like, she was, like, telling her what she could do, like, where she could go. So Nanny had wrote that she said, "I married as my father wished in 1921 to a boy I only knew for about 4 or 5 months, who had no family, only a mother who was unwed and who had taken over my life completely. When we were married, and she never saw anything wrong with that. And she would not let my own mother even stay the night." So, like, she was very controlling. So she went from a controlling father to a husband with a controlling mother. So they wound up having 4 daughters, Gertrude in 1922, Zelmer in 1923, Florine in 1924, and Melvina in 1926. So that's pretty quick succession. Like, literally, you just popped a baby out and you're pregnant again.
Sounds like you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like mommy.
Yeah.
Yeah, mom.
Yeah. At least mommy was every 2 years.
That's true.
Yeah. So Nanny became stressed and started drinking and smoking. And by 1927, their marriage was falling apart. They would cheat on each other, and Charles would disappear for days on end. Now, on August 30th, 1927, Zelmer, who was 4 years old, died of food poisoning. And Gertrude, she was five, also died of food poisoning September 25th, 1927. So within like a month of each other, her two oldest kids died of the same thing, food poisoning.
Wow.
Yeah. So soon after this, Charles took Melvina, which was the next oldest one, and left Nanny with Florine, which was the baby. She was only like a year at that point. But not long after Charles left, Charles' mother's died. So now Nanny was alone with Florine, and she started work at a cotton mill to support her and the baby. In 1928, Charles did return with Melvina and another woman who was a divorcee with her own child. So at this point, Charles and Nanny quickly divorced, and she took Melvina and Florine and moved back in with her own mother. Charles stated that the reason why he left was because he was afraid of Nanny. In 1929, Nanny met and married husband number two, Frank Harrelson. They lived in Jacksonville with the two children, and a few months after the marriage, she found out her husband was an alcoholic and had a record for assault. So, do you think you should try to find this stuff out ahead of time instead of just jumping right into a second marriage? But their marriage did last 16 years, so they actually were married for quite a long time. So it's a little fucked up. So,
did they have kids together?
They did not. No. Uh-huh. She only had the children with the first husband. So now Nanny's oldest daughter, she's only got two left, Melvina, gave birth to Robert Lee Hayes in 1943 and a daughter in 1945. But the baby died in the hospital shortly after delivery. Melvina claimed that while she was groggy from ether, that she saw her mother stick a hat pin into the baby's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when she asked her husband and sister, they told her that Nanny was the one who told them that the baby died, and they did notice that she had a pin on her. So the doctors were unable to give any explanation on the baby's death, but Melvina swears that she saw, like, her mother basically stab her baby, and the baby died.
But wouldn't you see, like, blood and stuff?
Well, you might just see, like, a pin, but it's, like, a little bit longer, I guess. So, but the doctors, I guess, when they looked at the baby, they couldn't find any explanation. But, so, due to the stress of the baby's death, Melvina and her husband broke up, and she started dating a soldier who Nanny did not approve of. They would often fight about their new relationship, and after a bad fight one night, Melvina decided to visit her father and leave 2-year-old Robert in Nanny's care.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Nope.
So,
nope.
You think your mother killed your newborn baby, and you're going to leave your other child in their care?
No.
Yeah. So, Robert died July 7th, 1945, from a diagnosis of asphyxia from unknown causes.
So she strangled him.
Or put like a pillow over his face or something like that. Now, 2 months later, Nanny collected $500 from an insurance policy she took out on Robert.
What the hell? That ain't even her kid, yo.
Yeah. So, on September 15th, 1945, Nanny's husband, who was 39 at the time, came home after heavily partying and celebrating the end of World War II. So remember, Sandy, 1945 is when World War II ended.
Okay.
She's like, okay, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'll never remember this in time for drunk history.
But not even that. In my head, I'm like in... Try to remember what World War II was. Try to remember World War II. It's not even the date. What was World War II?
What was World War II? Yeah. So after he was celebrating, he came home and actually raped Nanny. So the next day, she put rat poisoning in his alcohol, and he died later that night. Yeah.
So she wasn't fucking around.
No, she was
really
not.
Wasn't.
She's like, I'll show you, motherfucker. So while traveling in Lexington, North Carolina, Nanny met husband number 3, Arlie Lang, via the Lonely Hearts column and married him 3 days later.
Oh,
what?
Shit.
Yeah. Oh. She literally was hopping from one to the other.
That's who's my hero.
Yeah.
3 days.
3 days. So guess what? He wound up being an alcoholic and a womanizer.
Of course.
Like the other ones, yeah. Maybe that's what happens when you marry someone after 3 days. And...
Yeah, because you don't know shit about them.
No, not at all. And especially you met them through the newspaper.
I wish we could. Let's take out newspaper articles. Who reads it? Like a 90-year-old man. Maybe.
We could take out an article for our fourth murder maiden.
That is true. That is true.
Extensive knowledge of serial killers is a plus. As long as you're not one yourself.
Driver. Valid driver's license.
Required.
A necessity.
All right. So Nanny would disappear sometimes for months, but when she was home, she was said to be a loving wife. During one of her disappearances, she wound up at her sister's house, Dovey Weaver, who was 42. Dovey was bedridden, and on June 30th, 1950, Dovey mysteriously died while Nanny was there.
Oh, sugar. Yeah.
On September 7th, 1950, Nanny poisoned her mother-in-law, Sarah Lanning, who was 85, and made it look like she died in her sleep.
Hmm.
On February 16th, 1952, Arlie, who was 52, died of heart failure. When, after his death, she then burnt down their house and collected the insurance money. Mm-hmm. He was a little crazy.
And, nobody's catching on that... All these people are dying around
her?
Yeah,
a lot of people are dying around her. So, later that year, she met Richard L. Morton after joining a dating service called the Diamond Circle Club, and they married in Emporia, Kansas. Her mother, Louisa, who was 74, came to live with them and died of poisoning January 1953.
Jesus.
Yeah. Richard, who was 64, was adulterous and died May 19th, 1953, of poisoning. A month later, she met and married her fifth and final husband, Samuel Doss, who is 58, of Tulsa, Oklahoma, in June of 1953. And he was a minister, but he disapproved of the novels that his wife was, obsessed with. He was religious. I guess she was more read in more of the smut books and things like that.
I was going to say, she liked the mom porn?
Yeah, which is what I read all the time.
Yeah. If I read, that's what I read.
That's what I read, yeah.
Or murder.
That. I've been reading, the ones where it's, one girl, four dudes. So, in September of 1954... Samuel was admitted to the hospital with flu-like symptoms. He was diagnosed and treated for severe digestional tract infection and was released October 5th and died October 12th. Nanny collected 2 insurance policies on her late husband, and after his sudden death, his doctor ordered an autopsy and found high doses of arsenic in his system. She was arrested and confessed to killing four of her husbands, her mother, sister, grandson, and mother-in-law. She pled guilty on May 17th, 1955, and sentenced to life in prison.
So she...
They did not pursue the death penalty because she was a woman.
So that's bullshit.
This is like the 50s. She was never charged with the other deaths, and she wound up dying in the hospital ward of Oklahoma State Penitentiary in 1965 of leukemia.
So she, they were only going to charge her with the one, and she was just like, oh, I did all these too?
So they, because she was, it was Oklahoma, right? Yeah, so it was Oklahoma, so they centered the trial around Samuel Doss, because that was the one where he died, they did the autopsy. Now, I've looked at a couple different sources. Some of the sources say she just confessed, and that was it. But a couple of the sources said that after they did Samuel's autopsy, they wound up exhuming some of the other bodies and doing tests and found that they had arsenic in there as well. And that's when she confessed after they already came to her and said,
and said, like, we have evidence of this.
We have evidence that these people were poisoned.
Okay.
So.
Because yeah, I'd so, be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, I did this one, but not the other ones.
Yeah. So but, all in all, she killed two of her own children, two of her grandchildren, her sister, her mother, I think it was two mother-in-laws, and four husbands.
Ooh, I mean, I could... a murder.
Yeah.
I could cut, like, one sister out, but other than that, like...
I think we all have that one sister. Yeah.
We all have the same sisters.
Yes. I was gonna say. It really is that one. But like,
well, we've had this conversation before. We're like, in the event of a zombie apocalypse, we know which one we're sacrificing.
This is true.
And then it's me, because I'll feed the most. That's crazy. I can't believe, like, you're killing your kids and your grandkids. Yeah. Like, okay, I can see a mother-in-law. I can see a husband. But... like, your kids and your grandkids, that's, you're newborn. Like, you're newborn. Literally like, newborn, day old.
Not even, like, hours. Not even, probably not even then, because they said, like, the Melvina was groggy on ether, so I don't know how long that takes to, because that's just gas, so I don't know how long that takes to wear off.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So...
and that she didn't get the death penalty. I wonder, like, how, I guess it was this, like, it's each trial, but, like, why women back then were not as favored for the death penalty. Like, she was spared because,
I mean, well, because, you know, look at the time, you know what I mean? Like, you're talking about the 50s and stuff like that, like, women, I guess, didn't have as many rights and things like that. I don't, when was, like, the women vote thing going through?
The suffrage?
Yeah.
This before then.
Was it before then?
I think so.
But like women were more, you know what I mean? Like, were more precious. And, you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were able to vote in the 20s.
That's
okay.
What I thought, yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't want to sound dumb, because you know I don't know history, so yeah. I thought it was the 20s, but didn't want to sound dumb-dumbs.
We definitely have to have another drunk history. Yeah. Oh, wait, I thought of another thing. Drunk spelling bee.
Sandy's face. Onomatopoeia.
Oh my God, I am legit the worst. Like, I know no history, I know no spelling, I know no cooking, I know nothing. Like, how am I not at the bottom of, like, the basket? Like, at McDonald's?
Did I tell you, I told Brian, I said, I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent. He's like, how about you sisters give up being whores?
So I'm not about that life, not now, not ever.
Not ever. Like, I'm a peacock, you gotta let me fly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I guess, you know, they just, people just didn't want to see.
Yeah, women. It's just, yeah, you know, they get a little bit of more leniency.
Leniency, yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you see it even like nowadays still, like women get off or lesser time than a man would for certain things. But it's just, it's crazy that you can do that many.
You're still like looking at the time where like women, like unwed mothers, like had to go to convents and be hitting away because it was so shameful and everything. Yeah. So, yeah. And they said, like, people who met her, like, that's why they call her the giggling granny, because, like, she was seemed so cheery and so happy. And they said, like, her whole trial, she was just, she would laugh and joke. And
be the really, really, really happy ones are the fucked
are the crazy
up
ones.
Never trust them.
Yeah. So, but.
That's interesting. I didn't know about this case.
Yeah, she killed, like, a shit ton of people. And, like, I think I brought her up. I think I brought her up when I did Belle Gunness, because she was another November birthday, so.
Oh.
Robin, you hanging in there?
Yep.
All right, let's get this game going. All right. The time. The current year. So.
2021.
Your location, the hair salon.
I was thinking of telling him to do that because he was there, and I was like, nah, shut my mouth.
Well, I said to him, I was like, your game's going to be your wife after she made you repaint the same room three different times. But our location is the hair salon in 2021, and you are an underpaid hairdresser working the closing shift.
Robin, this is hitting home here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, this is really going to hit home. The victim. The customer who didn't shower had a 3-hour, $70 package treatment and tipped $2.
Oh, fuck.
Robin's already got three bodies out back because of the same situation.
Yeah. Our mission. To get revenge on this cheapskate without anyone finding out. Keep in mind, the salon is in a strip mall with cameras. Our weapons of choice, your trusty scissors, sit down hair dryer, or a gallon of that blue comb cleaning juice that every barber shop has.
What is that stuff?
It's called Barbicide.
Barbicide.
Is it like an alcohol or?
It's
just like a chemical.
It's a very strong disinfectant.
Okay.
And cleaner. So
you're basically Lysoling the shit out of my hair while you're brushing it through with that damn comb.
No. When we have combs, there's like a process you go through. So when you're at least they're supposed to. You're supposed to, once I finish the comb on your hair, I'm supposed to stick it in either like a ship shape, which is like a cleansing, like kind of detergent. Or you could also use soap too. You let that sit for like 10, 15 minutes. Then you move it to the blue stuff, which is the Barbicide. And let it sit for another 10 minutes because it has a 10-minute contact time. Mm-hmm. And then you rinse it out with water, and then now your combs are clean.
I'm pretty sure I've seen them take it out of the blue liquid and just go like this, just shake it, and then go brush someone's hair.
Dab it on the towel and just like brush it.
Oh, no, they shouldn't be doing that. They should rinse it out. Like, you're not even supposed to have Barbicide in those jars, actually, because you're supposed to clean them first before you put them in Barbicide. So we have, like, a multi-step process, at least where I work.
Hmm. We ain't fancy where we go.
Yeah, getting Barbicide in your hair. It's basically like any other, like, hospital-grade disinfected type of situation where it kills every germ known to man.
So, just take a couple swigs of that, and you don't have to worry about corona.
That's true.
All right, what can we do to revenge? Are we killing?
That's kind of, I think so. Yeah. Well, we are murder maidens, so.
I know. I'm just trying to think of how I'm going to kill and get away with it.
Kill, kill, kill.
She's going to strip mall. I'm going to take the scissors because okay. Those bitches are always so sharp. They can cut like an ear off. But I gotta think of how I want to. Kill her with it. Tip $2. That's ridiculous. My pizza delivery guy gets more than that.
I know, right?
Look at Robin. Robin's like,
Robin's like, I'm 5 minutes from falling asleep.
Okay. All right. Trusty scissors. And I'm going to tell her she needs to go to the bathroom. Oh, wait. We're in a hair salon. She needs to go back to the wash bins where I wash the hairs.
And the shampoo sink?
Yep. Yeah. It's late. I can't remember words. I'm going to take her to the shampoo bins and I'm going to... Oh, okay. So I'm going to lather her hair and just be like, oh, like I just need to get everything out and then we'll just blow dry. And I'm going to not dry her hair so it is super wet. And I'm going to let her walk and I'm going to actually like end up pulling her back and stabbing her in the back of the neck with my scissors. But I'm going to say it's like she slipped on the water from her hair and fell back into my scissors.
Why would you be carrying your scissors on the way to putting her back in your chair?
Because I had to just clean them while I was washing her hair. I went back and cleaned them really fast. And, you know, I was walking and she just slipped and I went to kind of grab her and it stabbed on. She fell.
Okay. Well, I guess that works.
I don't know. Okay, well.
Alrighty. So now I have either Barbicide or I have the dryer, the sit-down dryer.
Hope you're not in Florida and fall asleep.
Yeah, because it's legal.
Well, hey, then they would get arrested.
Exactly. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, I guess I'll just take the Barbicide. I'll fill up the sink with it, and then I'll drown them in it. And then, since there's cameras, I will. Once I drown them in the Barbicide, I will. Wrap them up in, like, trash bags and stuff, and then go throw them in the dumpster out back. There's cameras, but. If I got a bunch of trash, they won't notice, I feel. Maybe. I don't know. That's a very terrible plan. My brain's not working, so.
I feel like you gotta get, like, lucky with the dumpsters.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, like, I feel like everyone, all the dumpsters around our area, people put their shit in anyway, so. Like, can't prove it was me, and then run away, like the Hamburglar.
All right, that Monica, you gotta figure out the hairdryer.
All right, so first, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go in the back, and I'm gonna turn off the cameras for inside the place.
Okay.
So that way, no one sees what I'm doing inside there. And then I'm going to take all the little capes that you put, right? I'm going to tie them up so that they can't move. I'm going to put them under the hair dryer, bring the hair dryer down, turn it up to like the highest setting,
and like tie them in place so that way it basically like cooks their brain, right?
Okay.
So I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna take them in the back, and I'll probably like chop them up to little pieces with something that I have in the back, put them in little bags, so that way I'll put what I can down the drain, and then like all the blood, and then I'll clean everything, and then put the rest of the pieces in the bag, and then take it out the back where there might be cameras, but it just looks like I'm going to be carrying a bag, and then dispose of the body. So that's what I'm going to do.
Mm. Dispose.
Seems legit, I feel. I feel like this, we're not good at murder this week.
Robin's like falling asleep.
Robin
on
is falling asleep.
I'm alive.
Next time, make sure your husband gives you the red pill instead of the blue pill.
I know.
Well, how's your headache now?
Pretty good. All right. Like floating. Like.
Well, do you want to close us off?
Yeah. Can you read it?
Yeah. Can you read?
I do my old lady glasses. Alrighty. So, thanks for listening. We can be reached at
Robin is so high right now.
Oh my gosh. She's like, so thanks.
Take two. Thanks for listening. We can be reached at themurdermaidens13@gmail.com. Oh shit. You can find us by searching Murder Maidens on Facebook and Instagram, on Twitter at Maidens Murder, and on murdermaidens.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and our site. Please give us a thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, and drop us a comment. Until next time, don't get murdered.
Don't murder anyone. I can't do it now.
And don't do anything we wouldn't do.
You guys have like sexy voices. Mine are like
thank you for listening.
Good night.
Night.
Sweet dreams.
Bye.
Bye.